From London we present Overland Patrol, a series of stories set in the vast Australian outback, featuring Sergeant Adam Strang of the Northern Territory Police. Episode 25, The Old Man of Urrawalla.
How much further now, Adam?
Not long, Mike. There's the billabong.
So that puts us west of the Urrawalla Downs homestead, am I right?
Quite right, Trooper Dawson. But still on Urrawalla property, of course.
Ah, I must say, that billabong's a peaceful sight. Shady trees, sun winking on the water.
But we're not out here to admire the scenery. There's Corey Smith's shack.
Where?
Up ahead. In among the she-oaks, just above the billabong.
Ah, nicely tucked away, isn't he? Far from the madding crowds, ignoble strife, etc. and so forth.
A little too far with that heart of his.
Adam, I'm second to none in my admiration of Sister Halliday and the work she does at the district hospital, but isn't she being just a bit of an alarmist about old Corey?
We'll soon know. Here we are, Mike. Pull up. Corey's a pretty special case, but a heart attack's still always a possibility. And at any time. Right, pile up. Hello there. Corey. Corey Smith.
Doesn't look like he's at home.
There's his old jalopy, though.
Yeah. Could do with a new front tire from the look of that patch on it.
He can't be too far away. Let's take a look in the shack first of all, Mac. Come on.
Oh, but he'd have heard us if he was in there.
Unless he's beyond hearing, he could be lying in there, maybe dead for all we know.
On the contrary, he's very much alive.
Eh?
Well, look, coming through the trees.
Well, well, and stepping as briskly as a two-year-old.
What price that heart attack, eh?
G'day, Corey.
Sergeant Strang. Well, g'day, g'day. Hello, Trooper.
Hello, Mr. Smith.
This is a nice surprise. I don't get many visitors. Yeah, I was just down at the billabong catching myself some lunch. How's this little lot from Hornets Fishing, eh?
Jolly goodbye, Joe.
Yeah, but what brings you out this way, Sergeant? On patrol, are you?
A special patrol, Corey. On your account.
My account?
You didn't come into the hospital for your checkup yesterday. Sister Halliday was worried and called me up.
Yesterday? Yeah, she's got it wrong. It's not till next week. Yeah, well, wait a minute. Is it now?
Don't you keep a calendar, Mr. Smith?
Oh, I suppose there must be one in the shack somewhere. But to tell you the truth, I hardly ever look at it anymore. Well, you know, living out here, 1 week's not much different from another.
Corey, do me a favor. Next time, make sure you haven't got your weeks muddled up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sergeant, about you having to come out for nothing like this. Real sorry. I know you're a busy man.
Forget it. You're okay, and that's the main thing.
I feel bad about it, though. Now look. Just to make up for it, why don't you both stay and have a bite of lunch with me, eh? I'll cook these fish, there's plenty for all of us. I'll fry them over a fire out here under the trees. Now, what do you say?
Fresh caught fish fried over an open fire. Oh, boy.
Mike, stop drooling.
Righto, that's settled. You stay.
Well, I can't refuse, Corey, or I can see I'll have one mutinous trooper on my hands. Right, Mike, you get a fire started. I'll give Corey a hand with the fish. I must admit, I'm working up an appetite myself.
You brew a jolly good billy of tea, Mr. Smith. No doubt about that.
Now, I told you, Trooper, you call me Corey, like the sergeant does.
Yeah, all right, Corey. And when it comes to frying fish, I'd say you could teach any London hotel chef a thing or two.
Made a meal of them all right, didn't we?
Left nothing but the bare bones.
And the rest just melted in the mouth. You know, I could consider giving up being an outback policeman for a life like this.
You reckon, Mike?
No, you couldn't, Trooper. You're just a young fella. Why, it's okay for someone like me. A bloke on borrowed time, as the saying goes. You know, it's a funny thing. Life never works out the way you think. Or death either, for that matter. Now, that heart specialist down in Adelaide, he only gave me a couple of years to go. At the outside, he reckoned.
Well, nobody's infallible, Corey, not even the specialists.
Yeah, so I'm well overdue. Going on for 5 years.
And good for you.
But you know the strange part of it all, Trooper? Me boy Owen went instead. Just about when I was supposed to. I seen that specialist when I was down south spending a bit of time with Owen and Wilma and their two little kids. Of course, I never let on to them what the doctor told me. I knew they'd try to make me stay on there with them.
And you didn't want that, Corey?
No, Sergeant. If I was going to kick off, I decided it'd be here in the territory where I belong. Yeah, Vern Deacon, he let me move into this empty shack on his station, and here I still am. But Owen and Wilma and the kids, they're gone.
All of them? But I thought...
Yeah, all four, Trooper, killed in a car crash.
That's bad luck, Corey. I'm sorry.
They was the only family I had. Owen's ma died when he was still a nipper. Yeah, life and death. A funny business. Yeah, but look, I'm talking too much. I'm keeping you fellas. You've got to get back to Malabar, haven't you?
Afraid so. Corey, you know, you should get into town more often.
Oh, I'm fine here at the Billabong, Sergeant. I don't get lonely.
Wouldn't do you any harm to see a few people, though.
Oh, I see people, all right. Look, every now and then I drive up to the homestead. Vern Deacon and his wife always give me a welcome. Yeah, they're a real nice young couple.
But they won't be here much longer.
Eh? How do you mean?
Hadn't you heard? They're selling the place.
Selling? Vern selling Oodle Waller? Why, he never mentioned it to me. Oh, mind you, I haven't been up there to see him for a while.
I gather it's been in the wind for some time. I don't think Vern wanted to sell, but the offer kept rising, going up and up.
The buyer's very keen, apparently, without even coming up to look the place over.
Anyway, it seems in the end the offer was just too good for the Deacons to turn down.
The place won't be the same without him. Who is this buyer, do you know?
Some big business tycoon down in Adelaide. Isn't that so, Adam?
That's right. One of the biggest in South Australia, I believe. His name's Benedict.
Max Benedict?
You've heard of him, have you, Corey?
Yeah. Yes, I've heard of him, sure. When I was down south that time. So he's bought Oodle Waller, eh? Now, what's he want with a cattle station like this? There's plenty of bigger properties in the territory. And if there's one thing about Benedict, he likes to be big. The bigger, the better.
I've just been on the transceiver, sis, talking to Alice Springs. Seems the new boss of Urawala Downs is on his way up north.
Oh, really?
Flew into the Alice this morning and has chartered a private plane.
Adam, who is this Max Benedict?
Quite an impressive gentleman, by all accounts. He started from nothing, so the story goes. Now he has five big companies. Owns a private stud farm, a vineyard down in the Barossa Valley, and Lord knows what else. It'll be interesting to get a look at him, I must say. We don't get many of his kind up here. You know something about the territory then, Mr. Benedict?
A little.
And what do you think of Malabar Plains?
It's a lot bigger than when I remember it.
So you've been here before?
A hell of a long time ago. More than 35 years.
Really? And will you like living at Urawala Downs, do you think?
I don't know how much time I'll be actually spending here. But I'll like it, all right.
What made you buy the property, Mr. Benedict? Or is that a rude question?
No, I've no objection to telling you. That's the same reason why I bought a stud farm and a vineyard. You might say there are certain places I collect. I once worked on the stud farm as a stable boy. I picked grapes one season in the vineyard. Now I own them both.
And you've added Urawala to your collection because you worked there once, too.
You could say that.
But, Mr. Benedict, 35 years ago, you'd have only been a boy.
My father worked on the place. I was born there.
Well, what do you know?
I lived on the station till I was 10 years old. A stockman's kid running around loose with a grubby face and the backside hanging out of me britches. A surly kid nobody could be bothered about.
Not even your mother and father?
My mother took to a fancy-down horsebreaker and went off with him. The old man took to the bottle and went to the pack. One day the boss walked up to him and just said, "It's a fine day for riding." The traditional territory phrase for giving a man the boot. I suppose they still use it.
Yes, they still use it.
And what happened then, Mr. Benedict?
I wandered around with the old man for a few years, picking you off the floor of one pub after another till I was old enough to strike out on my own. So I struck out. And I've stayed on my own.
You're not married then?
I saw all I wanted to manage before I was out of short pants. Anyway, I've been too busy. Too much to do and too far to go.
And what became of your father?
The bottle got him in the end, I was told. Well, now, it's time I was on my way. Thanks for the tea and the scones, Miss String.
Not at all, Mr. Benedict.
Before I go, String.
Yes?
West of Urawala Homestead, there's a billabong, as I remember.
Yes, that's so.
I seem to recall a broken-down old shack used to stand there. Suppose it fell down years ago. Got pulled down, maybe.
No, it's still there. As a matter of
fact... Thanks, that's all I wanted to know. Just wondered how good my memory was. Now I'm off. So long to both of you.
Bye, Mr. Benedict.
So long.
Anybody there?
What's the idea?
What the...
I've been watching you. I've seen you walk straight in and I've been watching you. Picking up things and putting them down. You don't look like a burglar. You've been moving around in here like you knew the place.
I used to know it.
Yeah. What's this place to you, then?
I knew it once, a long time ago.
What's that you've got?
What?
That there, what you're holding in your hand.
Yeah. Old tobacco tin, that's all.
Yeah, that thing's been there donkey's years. It was here when I come. Yeah, now, supposing you tell me what the idea is, eh? Making yourself free of my place?
Your place?
Sure. I'm Corey Smith, and I live here.
No. I don't like that.
Eh?
I don't like anybody living here. I'm going to have to ask you to move out.
Move out? Yeah, now, wait a minute.
Sorry, but that's the way it'll have to be.
Now, listen. Vern Deacon, let me have this
shack. Vern Deacon's not the boss anymore. I am. I own Urawala now.
Oh, so you're Max Benedict, are you?
Yes. And like I've said, I don't want anybody living in here. You can have a couple of days to pack your gear, but you'll have to leave.
Supposing I don't. Supposing I refuse to
go... You've got no choice. You're on my property with no legal right. If I want you to go, you go. And if you refuse, I can throw you off with my own two hands.
All right. All right. If that's the way you're going to talk, I'll leave. And I won't wait any 2 days neither. I'll be out of here tonight.
Suit yourself.
What the heck's so important about this old shack anyway?
I want it unoccupied, that's all.
And if Max Benedict wants something, nobody else matters. That's you big business blokes all over, ain't it? Trample on anybody, knock them down, kick them out of the way. Just so long as you get what you're after.
I don't want any arguments about it. I've told you how it's got to be, and that's all there is to it. I want this shack empty. And if it's empty by tonight, then so much the better.
Come along now. Here you are, Corey. Drink this milk while it's nice and hot. And then you can get off to your bed.
You people don't have to go to all this trouble about me.
It's no trouble at all. Now, is it, Michael?
Of course not. You drink your hot milk and forget all about it, Corey.
Good-o. Oh, it's very nice.
I'm just glad Michael spotted your old car driving past and made you come in.
Well, it took some doing, I can tell you. Independent old cuss.
Well, we've empty beds to spare in this police post. But what makes me so furious is that Benedict man treating you like this. It makes my blood boil.
What beats me is why he should want to throw you out, Corey.
Yeah, he doesn't want anybody living in the shack. He said he wants it empty.
What's so special about the place, for heaven's sake?
Well, don't ask me.
Well, from what I saw of it, it's just about ready to tumble down.
And Corey's about ready to tumble into bed, in my opinion. Come on, I'll see you to your room.
Thanks, Miss Strang. Trooper Dorset.
Yes, Corey?
Men like Max Benedict have got to be dealt with.
The trouble is, he was within his legal rights, you know, Corey.
Oh, sure, sure. They're like that. The law can't do nothing about him. But when it comes to someone like me, that could be it. Someone like me.
Just what are you getting at?
Corey, come along now.
I'll be right there, Miss Strang. Don't worry, Trooper. I found the answer. Yeah. You bet. I know now just what to do and how to do it.
Adam? Adam, wake up. Wake up, Adam.
Eh? Marty, what time is it?
1 in the morning.
Good grief, what's up for Pete's sake?
It's Corey Smith, Adam. He's gone.
Gone?
A sound woke me up about 20 minutes ago. I thought it might be Corey. After what happened, I was worried about his heart. That business with Benedict must have been a shock, whatever he said.
Get to the point, sis.
Well, he wasn't in his room. I looked all over the house, then woke Michael. Adam, he says Corey's old car's gone, too.
Well, is Jalopy?
Yes.
You there, Mike?
Coming. I've just had another look in Corey's room. Mm-hmm. He's left all his gear, but his rifle's missing.
His rifle?
The poor old chap must be getting hazy in his mind.
Not too hazy.
What do you mean?
I'm remembering what he said to me before he went to bed. It didn't make much sense at the time, but, Adam, I've a horrible feeling the old man means to take the law into his own hands.
Against Benedict?
Yeah.
Get over to the tracker's quarters, Mike, at the double. Rouse Lightning. And I want the Land Rover out front in 10 minutes.
We're going after him in the middle of the night?
We are. There's a full moon, and that'll help. Lightning may be able to pick up the car tracks on the edge of town. Get moving, Mike. There's no time to lose.
You're mad. Gone off your head crazy. That's got to be it.
Just keep driving, Mr. Benedict.
Breaking into the homestead in the middle of the night, getting me out of bed and into this old heap of yours at the point of a rifle.
And it's still pointing, right at the back of your head. So you drive nice and steady, or my finger might jerk the trigger.
For the 100th time, what's the idea, old man? Because I tossed you off Oodawalla, is that it?
You'll find out in my time. My own good time, not yours.
Where the hell are you taking me?
Can't you see? Yeah, up ahead where the moon's shining on the water like a streak of silver.
The billabong?
Yeah, that's right. You keep driving, Mr. Benedict. Just keep on driving.
Well, Lightning, what do you make of the tracks?
Oh, by gory, Sergeant Bush. Blurry hard, make him out tracks, boy, not Tom, you bet.
We don't expect a miracle from you, Lightning, do we, Adam?
Only a small one.
By gory.
You spotted something?
Yeah, boss. Tire marks from that Corey fella car, all right?
How can you be so sure, Lightning?
That fella Jalopy got him patch on front tire, Mr. Mark. I find him spotting tire marks same like patch.
Good work. Which way did he go?
East, boss. That way out of town.
Fair enough. He must be making for Oodawalla Downs. Get into the Land Rover, boys, and sharp about it. We've used up enough time as it is.
You're now. You heard me. Push the table away, Mr. Benedict. Yeah, that's the idea. Now you stand where the table was, right in the center of that patch of moonlight from the doorway. Go on, move. Yeah, that'll do just fine. Now I can see you. All bright and clear.
What have you brought me to the shack for?
I reckon this shack means something special to you. Isn't that right?
None of your business. Why have you brought me here? You could have killed me up at the homestead.
Maybe. And killing you wouldn't trouble me one bit. You better know that. You see, my time ran out a long time ago. This ticker of mine's all rusted up. It could stop any old time. So whether it happens under the blue sky or behind a prison gate, it really makes no odds as far as I'm concerned.
Why do you want to kill me?
Because my name's Smith, and I had a son named Owen.
What's that got to do with me?
You don't remember?
I never heard of any Owen Smith.
Yes, you have. You just think, Mr. Benedict. Think back. It wasn't all that many years ago.
I told you, Owen Smith doesn't mean a thing to me. I don't know anything about your son. Now, if you want to pull that trigger, go ahead and do it.
Not just yet. I'll see if I can jog your memory for you first. How about O.W. Constructions?
O.W. Constructions? Wait a minute.
Yeah, beginning to come back, is it? O for Owen, W for Wilma, his wife. Just a small private outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember now.
A small outfit that got in the way of some of your plans. One of your big deals. So it had to go to the wall. You crushed it like you would a matchbox in one hand. That was the end of my son. 6 months later, he was dead. Him and Wilma and the two kiddies.
I remember it all now. They were killed in a car crash.
You did that, Mr. Benedict.
What are you talking about? He ran the car into a wall.
Owen died before that crash. Half a year before, and it was your doing. You finished him when you smashed everything he'd worked and slaved to build up. Yes, he wrote me the whole story. The last letter I ever got from him. It was you who really killed him. and you couldn't even remember his name.
You haven't got all the facts, old man. Maybe they were kept from you. But your son was drunk when he drove into that wall.
What?
He was drunk. Dead, blind, drunk.
I don't believe you.
It's the truth, whether you believe it or not. And I'll tell you something else. That Owen of yours was just like my old man. He lost his wife and went to the pack. Your son lost his business and fell apart, went to the bottle. If he'd had any guts, he'd have started from scratch all over again. Pulled himself up by his bootstraps like I did. But he was a weakling. You've got more guts than he ever had, and you're an old man. You're not weeping into a beer and whinging. You're standing here with a rifle pointing at my ribs. You're a stubborn old fool with your game. I'll say that for you. Yes, I'll give you that.
Oh, Adam, this is turning into a bit of a wild goose chase, isn't it? We drive all the way up to Walla Walla Homestead and draw a blank.
That's right. No Benedict, no Corey. So we backtrack to this turnoff, Mike. How's it going there, Lightning?
In a minute, Sergeant Bush.
Okay.
Where does this turnoff go to?
Down to the billabong.
Sergeant Bush, I'll find him. Fresh tire marks show him on this track.
Good boy.
That jalopy go down to billabong, all right?
Then so do we. Climb aboard.
You've got something to learn, Mr. Max Benedict. What you said about my boy, maybe that was true and maybe not. But you've got to learn the world's not just for the hard and the strong. It's for all the others, too. Because when it all boils down, not one of us is anything more than a spit in the ocean of time. None of us.
Look, never mind the sermon. If you're going to put a bullet in me, go ahead and shoot without all this yap.
I'll shoot when I'm ready and not before. You're tough, eh? You don't mind facing a bullet. But you've got your weakness somewhere, like everybody else, if I can find it. Maybe even it's this broken-down old shack.
You're crazy.
Am I? Now, what if instead of shooting you, I was to set this shack on fire?
What? Why would you want to do that?
Maybe just to prove the point. This is petrol. There's more than enough in this can to do the trick. One touch of a match and this place will go up like a torch.
No.
Stay where you are.
No. You can't burn down old Dinny's shack. I won't let you! Nobody's going to touch this place. Nobody!
All right, Benedict, throw down that rifle.
Strang.
You heard, throw it down.
I had to take it off him.
What about that shot?
He fired in the air. The bullet went through the roof.
And then you knocked him down?
No, he just collapsed.
His heart. Let's have a look. Corey.
Who's that?
Adam Strang.
Sergeant. Where's Benedict?
I'm here, old timer.
Listen, I never meant to shoot you. That wasn't it. I wanted to try teach you a lesson. Benedict, who was old Dinny?
Nobody.
Who was he?
He was a little weedy, grimy old bloke. He lived in the shack when I was a kid on Urawalla. No one had any time for him except me. He was my friend. I used to spend hours with him here. And those were the best, the happiest hours I ever remember.
And that's really why you bought Urawalla?
If you must know, yes. Dinny must have died donkeys years ago. But I've never forgotten him. Or this shack.
Something else you shouldn't forget. What I said. We're all just a spit in the ocean of time.
Strang. Is he dead?
No, but he's pretty far gone. We'll have to get him to hospital as fast as we can. Mike, get Lightning to help you with old Corey. I'll call up the flying doctor on the walkie-talkie. And let's hope I can raise him in time.
Well, well, I might have guessed I'd find you on the veranda, Michael, and with your feet up.
Taking a well-deserved rest, Marty. Oh, I don't want another night like last night. Talk about a panic.
But they got old Corey to hospital in time, and that's what matters. Any word about him yet?
Adam's on the transceiver now.
Oh, I hope it'll be good news.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed.
And you'd better keep him that way, Mike, for a while yet at least.
Adam, what did they say?
That's still pretty dicey, apparently, but the old chap's got more than a fair chance of pulling through. And who do you think's at the hospital, waiting for the moment Corey can have his first visitor?
You don't mean Max Benedict?
Nobody else but. You know, I've got a pretty good idea that Corey will be moving back into the shack on Uruwala. I think Max Benedict might have found himself a second old dinny. And now, might I point out, Constable, that you are sitting in my chair? Move, Trooper Dawson, move.
That was episode 25 of Overland Patrol by Anthony Scott Veitch and Maurice Travers. Production for the BBC was by John Fawcett Wilson.